Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back once again to For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam Pfeiffer, continuing our season in review series from the 2024 fantasy football season. Congrats to the Eagles, by the way. Didn't even mention that yesterday. Eagles, I thank you. As a Bills fan, it's no secret, did not want the Chiefs to win. So, myself, the Bills Mafia, and probably most of the NFL, thanks you. What a win, what a season for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yesterday, we debuted this series with the Buffalo Bills, breaking down what happened in 2024. I brought on Michael F. Florio from NFL Fantasy, I should say, to help me break down the Bills. And we continue through the AFC East today here on Friday with the Miami Dolphins, who had a pretty rough season in 2024. Injuries obviously played a huge role. We'll break down that entire team, what happened, key takeaways, and of course, what we can apply going forward in 2025 for this team with fantasy football in mind. Before we do that, though, make sure you're checking out all of the content at FTNFantasy.com. We'll be definitely ramping up the NFL draft and free agency and pretty much entire offseason content on the site. I'll be excited about doing that. But baseball season is right around the corner, and our baseball content is unbelievable, led by Vlad Sedler. You can check out the, I believe it's the fourth annual now, fourth year in a row for the fantasy football or fantasy baseball draft guide, led by Vlad, with a bunch of great analysts from the site and other sites as well. And if you're looking for a fantasy baseball package, now is the time. Now up until, I believe, the start of spring training, we have a 15% off code. It's SPRING15 as the promo code. That'll get you 15% off a fantasy baseball package. So again, check that out. Use that promo code at checkout, SPRING15. I stopped doing baseball content a while ago. Not that I didn't like it. It's just it was clearly third in the pecking order for me behind basketball and football. And haven't done it really at all since maybe 1 year since I've been with FTN, but it's probably for the better because our FTN baseball team is unbelievable. Check out the great content, win your fantasy baseball leagues. Again, use that promo code SPRING15. Let's keep it going though with the Miami Dolphins as we continue our 2024 season in review series. Miami Dolphins, yeah, there was some hype with the Dolphins and the Jets. Could this be the year they dethrone the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East? And again, I don't want to overlook the fact that Tua Tagovailoa got hurt, but the Dolphins did finish 8-9. They didn't look like an overpowering team with Tua. Second in the AFC East, they finished 20th in the NFL in points per drive at 1.94. Of course, a lot of that was skewed because Tua was out for a little bit. Only played 11 games with the concussion. And yeah, this offense was just really bad without him. We'll talk about it when we get to the other players in this team. But Tua specifically, I mean, he was still pretty solid when he was on the field. 17.1 fantasy points per game was good for quarterback 13. He was fourth among all quarterbacks, according to FTN Stats Hub, in EPA per dropback. And once again, nothing new with Tua in this Mike McDaniel offense. 2.23 average time to throw was the fastest in the NFL. So the ball was getting out of his hands immediately. He was accurate, but the offense was different. We've gone from all of this the past couple of seasons with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. All these defenses are so afraid to get beat deep that we've started to see a lot of this two deep safety looks. And the Dolphins faced that a lot this year because of the presence of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. As a result, we saw Tua's deep passing rate plummet. 7% deep passing rate this past season, his lowest since 2021. It was around 14% 2 years ago, back in 2023. And that's because, you look at it, 56% of the time, teams played two high safety looks against the Dolphins. 52% of the time, teams played two high safety against the Dolphins, highest rate in the NFL according to FTN Stats Hub. There was, I mean, you remember seeing it when Tua was out there. I mean, Tyreek Hill was not getting really any deep passes. Jalen Waddle was disappearing. More on that later. But you look at it, you can sort the routes for receivers and quarterbacks over at the FTN Stats Hub. I highly encourage you to check that out. So I combined post routes and go routes. You're kind of two, you know, popular deep passing routes, so to speak. Go routes, post routes. In 2023, Tua averaged 6.2 pass attempts per game that were either go and or post routes. 6.2. That fell down to just over 4 this season. Just wasn't a lot there. So this offense became a lot of checkdowns, a lot of passes to the running backs, which we'll talk about, and a lot of screens. So Mike McDaniel, like, I didn't think this was the greatest season from him. He didn't have a lot of answers to the test. There weren't a lot of great adjustments on his part, especially with these two high safety looks. There was one adjustment we will talk about in the form of Jonnu Smith. But yeah, I mean, even with all this being said, quarterback 13 on a points per game basis, we know Tyreek Hill will be better than he was last season, as long as he's still there. You just got to really shore up the offensive line, because that's been a problem for this team for a couple years now. It's one of the main reasons why this team has to get the ball out of to his hands immediately. Of course, his ceiling will be still somewhat limited in fantasy because there's really nothing in the rushing department. He's been under 5 rushing yards per game each of the last 2 seasons. So you're not getting that out of him. So like, Tua's going to have like a 40 touchdown season to even have a chance of being a top 5 quarterback. So you don't expect that from him, but he should be able to post like QB 10 to QB 14 production as long as he's healthy and as long as they have Tyreek Hill there. Of course, the one thing that didn't change the Dolphins' offense was the amount of motion. 71.4% of Tua's dropbacks resulted in motion. Second highest rate in the league behind only Jared Goff. So you still like that. You get a lot of, I've been a huge proponent of motion. I think all teams should use it more often than not. It's just, there's really no downside to not using it. You get a free tell for the most part, whether a defense is in man or zone. You're getting free releases a lot of times for your smaller, speedy receivers. Expect that to continue with Mike McDaniel. Tua's going to be probably in that like QB 13 to 15 range for me when I do my rankings for 2025. I think the floor is solid, just the ceiling's a little bit limited because there's really nothing there in the rushing department. Let's go to the backfield with Devon Achane, who obviously set the league ablaze in his rookie season. One of the most efficient seasons we've seen. Unbelievable explosive runs. Just insane. And we knew that going into his sophomore season, that was coming down, right? You can't replicate that. It's not possible. It's not sustainable. But his efficiency fell off a lot more than we thought. And again, a lot of that is because of the games where Tua was out. Tua missed weeks 3 to 7. In that span, I mean, nobody in the Dolphins was startable in fantasy. Like, that's how bad this offense was. Devon Achane, fewer than 9 PPR points per game in the contest where Tua was out last year. Then you look at the games where Tua was in. The receiving production alone was massive for him. In the games with Tua at quarterback, Devon Achane averaged 6.6 targets, 6.1 catches, 46 receiving yards, and just over 22 PPR points per game. He legitimately emerged for a large portion of the season as like the wide receiver 2. Like, he was essentially the RB1 and wide receiver 2 for this team, which is just a cheat code for fantasy. Because if you look at it, how many players at the running back position can say that? Kamara, sure. But like, even the best running backs in fantasy last year, Barkley, no. Derrick Henry, no. Kyren Williams, no. So as a result, even with the down games with Tua out, his overall 17.6 PPR points per game put him top 6 at the running back position. But yeah, man, like, Even though the Dolphins, in those games without Tua, they were the highest rushing offense in terms of volume in the NFL. Again, weeks 3 to 7 were the games. They had a bye week there as well. But in those weeks where Tua was out, the Dolphins ran the ball 57.2% of the time in neutral game scripts. Easily the highest rate in the NFL. But teams were stacking the box. The offensive line was really bad in run blocking too. That really hurt Devon Achane. Look at our DVOA metrics at FTNFantasy.com. Adjusted line yards. Miami dead last at 3.69 adjusted line yards per attempt. And then 27% of the Dolphins' rushing attempts were stuffed at or behind line of scrimmage. That was the highest rate in the NFL. And then Achane in particular, 24% of his carries were stuffed at or behind line of scrimmage. Third highest rate among all running backs. So it was tough. It's obviously a huge reason why Achane's explosive rush rate fell from 21.4% as a rookie to just 10% this past season. Again, he made up for it a ton with the pass game production. And we did see Raheem Mostert get phased out of this offense. Like, completely phased out by the end of the season. And then it was Achane getting like 65% of the work. And then they were kind of mixing in Jalen Wright down the stretch. I believe Mostert has one more year on his deal. Jeff Wilson's a free agent, and obviously it seems like the direction they're heading is Achane. Obviously the size is still like a concern for him to get like is he going to get 20 touches per game? I don't know. Like, maybe last year was a sign of things to come. Maybe Raheem Mostert's all of a sudden just relegated to a backup role. Or maybe even third string. Maybe they go with Jalen Wright as the every week RB2. But Achane, like, in a season where almost everything went wrong, terrible offensive line, terrible run blocking, offense completely fell off a cliff in the games without their starting quarterback, he was still a top six PPR per game running back. Got more goal line work this season too. So honestly, like, it wasn't the efficiency you were hoping for, even though you knew the efficiency would come down. But having said that, like, upgrade the offensive line a little bit in the offseason. Have Tua healthy. Yeah, I mean, Achane has top five upside pretty easily. And I would go into the 2025 season. Obviously, things can change if we get reports out of Miami's training camp and stuff like that. But I would probably, as it stands right now in mid-February, go into the next season with the expectation that Jalen Wright is the second running back behind Devon Achane. That's kind of how I'm approaching it. So we'll see, though. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we break down the passing game for the Dolphins. A lot to discuss here with Tyreek Hill. Worst season he's had in quite some time. Will he bounce back? Was it just a fluke season? Or is there some signs of decline for the veteran wide receiver? Talk about Jalen Waddle and his disappearing acts. And the late season breakout from Jonnu Smith at tight end. Don't move. More on the Miami Dolphins when we come back. All right, welcome back. Continuing our discussion with the Miami Dolphins in 2024. Again, the story was Tua. And the absence of Tua and what it did to this offense, perhaps nobody felt that more than Tyreek Hill, who was drafted as essentially, what, the wide receiver 2 in most leagues? Wide receiver 3? And he was a massive disappointment. Wide receiver 29 in fantasy points per game at just under 13. Again, the splits, can't reference them enough, but in the games where he didn't have Tua at quarterback, Tyreek averaged 5.8 targets, 4.2 catches, just 44 receiving yards, and 9 fantasy points per game. I already mentioned that the Dolphins had the highest neutral script rush rate in those games, so there wasn't a lot of volume going Tyreek Hill's way, clearly. Yeah, I mean, it's really tough when you have a veteran wide receiver who's over 30 years old, have the advanced metrics show a sign of decline, But then you also have to pair it with the fact that the offense was just putrid without their starting quarterback. I mean, the Dolphins averaged 10 points per game in the four games where Tua was out. 10. Just, and I do remember, like, there were times where, you know, Tyler Huntley came in and just missed Tyreek Hill on a couple long touchdowns. So, like, he was still getting open down the field. Look at the advanced metrics. Yards per out run drops from 3.9 in 2023 to 1.9 this past season. I think you can just, like, naturally assume that Tyreek is declining in some capacity just based off the age and everything like that. But, like, he's obviously one of the main key bounce back candidates for 2025. Assuming he's still here. There was all the drama, you know, after the or leading up to the Super Bowl about him maybe wanting to leave and go elsewhere. And then he gets, I believe he got asked about it during the Super Bowl weekend in New Orleans. And he said, yeah, I absolutely want to stay in Miami. So who knows? But again, it's way too early to think anything else. So I'm operating under the assumption that Tyreek Hill will be on the Miami Dolphins. And look, we've seen him just be the complete focal point of this offense since he's been there. And the key reason why, well, A, he's really good at football. And B, like Mike McDaniel, just all the schemed stuff goes to Tyreek Hill. All of the motion targets, all of this, you know, all of that stuff. Which is why Jalen Waddle's been so inconsistent for fantasy. Waddle last season, like, it is not hyperbole, it is not overreaction, it is not a stretch, whatever you want to call it. It's not misleading to say that Jalen Waddle at a certain point was the fourth option in this passing game behind Tyreek Hill, Devon Achane, and Jonnu Smith. Like, that's just a fact. 5.5 targets per game. And this is the problem I've always had with Waddle and why I think he, as talented as he is, can't hit his ceiling in this offense. Despite the offense being good and despite he'll have splash weeks for sure. But we talked about it. The team that uses pre-snap motion this much, like 71% of Tua's dropbacks, second highest rate in football. All this movement, all this stress on the defense, all this creativity. And yet, essentially, none of it goes to Jalen Waddle. According to FTN Stats Hub, just 3 total targets last year while Waddle was in motion at the snap. Way below Tyreek, way below Jonnu Smith, below Devon Achane. So the reason Waddle especially struggled when teams are playing this too high safety look against the Dolphins at the highest rate in football, and Tua's deep passing rate plummets, a huge part of Waddle's game the past couple of seasons has been off post routes. Like, Tua and Waddle have had one of the best connections off post routes over the past couple of seasons. And that disappeared last year because they didn't throw the ball deep as much. And obviously, they're getting the ball out of Tua's hands faster, and there's a lot more screens, and they finally have a tight end to throw the football to. Right, that was also one of the huge appeals of Waddle in fantasy, too. It's like, okay, we know Tyreek Hill is clearly the alpha, but like, they don't have anybody else to throw to, let alone, you know, whether it's a wide receiver 3 or a tight end. And that changed with Jonnu Smith. So again, Waddle's somebody I struggle with because I still think there's so much immense untapped potential with him. But I want Mike McDaniel to start getting him the motion targets, the screen targets, the, you know, shorter routes. And I still want Jalen Waddle running vertical routes, don't get me wrong. But not exclusively. I don't want that to be the makeup of his profile, because then you'll have these disappearing acts like he had. And like, I had a really, really good team where I drafted Waddle relatively early. And by week 2... like, I started him in week 1. I legitimately did not play him again the rest of the season. Didn't drop him. Didn't have the guts to do that. But legitimately did not start him after week 1. The floor was terrifyingly low, and the ceiling was there with, you know, in some certain games with Tua, but wide receiver just got a lot deeper this offseason too, or this season too, right? Like, you're obviously ranking all of the rookie wide receivers ahead of him, right? Brian Thomas, Ladd, all those guys, very easily. So, like, Waddle is a wide receiver 3 now going into 2025, whereas he was an upside wide receiver 2 the past couple seasons. He is going to very easily be a wide receiver 3. Still with upside, but I'll tell you, until we get some sort of, doesn't have to be a drastic role change, but until we get some sort of role change for Waddle, I just think there's going to be a lot of these inconsistencies. And then, of course, obviously, if we get, you know, fast forward to March, April, whatever, and Tyreek Hill's not on the Dolphins, yeah, then it's a completely different discussion, and he's probably a top 15 wide receiver. But, yeah, just, I just come away disappointed with the usage from Waddle more often than not. And finally, a huge reason why Waddle did disappoint was Mike McDaniel finally got a tight end involved in his offense. How about this late breakout from Jonnu Smith? Finishes as the overall tight end 5 in fantasy points per game, averaging 13.1. 0.6 fantasy points per route run was 4th best among tight ends. He had a 20% target share. And from week 7 on was when he really started to pick things up. From week 7 on, Jonnu averaged 7.5 targets, 6.2 catches, 62 receiving yards, and 16.4 fantasy points per game. During that stretch, only Kelce, McBride, and Bowers had more targets among tight ends, and only 17 players in the entire NFL had more targets than Jonnu Smith. And I think what we saw from him directly correlates to the change in this Dolphins offense. Two deep safeties. They're taking away the deep passes. Tua's getting the ball out of his hands on average 2.23 seconds. The offensive line's not great. Let's get the football to a talented, athletic tight end who's always been towards the top of the league in yards after the catch. And let's let him make plays. And essentially, because their run game was so bad, they essentially used Achane and Jonnu Smith in the passing game as an extension of the run game. It really was. Jonnu Smith had 20 targets off screen passes last season, the most among tight ends. I don't think this was a fluke. Especially because, like, he had almost 90 catches. It wasn't like he had, like, half those catches and just had a crazy touchdown season. Like a Robert Tonyan season or something like that. And, like, they've been looking for a player like this. Like, Gesicki, we know, was not at any point really a tight end. He was a slot receiver. And then, in the past, it was guys like Durham Smythe and guys that just aren't difference makers at the position. But we've seen Jonnu Smith be better than Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. We've seen Jonnu Smith in Tennessee have really, really high upside, high efficiency per play, per route data. The only time he was bad was in New England, and that was just a terrible addition by them because he just really couldn't play ahead of Hunter Henry. He just didn't play ahead of Henry at all. This is a good fit for him, and I liked. It's probably one of the best things McDaniel did during the season to adjust was to just get the ball in Jonnu Smith's hands. So I don't think, like, look, do I think he catches 88 passes again next season? No. But I don't think this is a fluke. And I think if you're ranking tight ends for 2025 today, he's got to be in the top 12. And I've always been pretty high on Jonnu Smith. But it's pretty telling that we finally get a tight end to do something in this offense, and it's to this extent. Now, again, Tyreek's going to be a lot better this season. Waddle should be better this season, too. But seriously, like, I'd love to ask Jeff and the guys that do the projections for the site, but, like, if you're projecting targets for the Dolphins going into 2025, I don't think I'm putting Jalen Waddle ahead of Jonnu Smith. So, yeah, he was one of the best stories in fantasy, honestly, especially because it's a tight end position that's often we're looking for players and players that can make a difference, and Jonnu Smith did exactly that. I mean, 20% target share, getting scheme targets, getting targets in motion, getting the layup targets, getting end zone targets, making plays after the catch. I don't see why defenses would defend Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle any differently than they did last season. So that'll continue to open things up for Jonnu Smith and Devon Achane in the short passing game, which is where Tua might have to do a lot again if that offensive line continues to struggle. So I do think Jonnu Smith's going to be pretty good in PPR formats again in 2025. Again, don't expect 90 catches or close to it, but I don't think this is a fluke. It's a talented player in a good system, took advantage of the offense kind of catering to him more and his skill set more. So shout out Jonnu Smith, adding some depth to the tight end position, because of course, this, you know, this past offseason I was saying, don't look now, but tight end's kind of deep this year. And then guys like Kincaid disappoint, other players disappoint, get hurt, etc. But Jonnu Smith, obviously Brock Bowers, what he did as a rookie. They made up for it a little bit. For the Dolphins, though, like, that'll do it. This is a pretty concentrated offense, as we know. A little bit less concentrated, though, with the emergence of Jonnu Smith. At one point, it was like, okay, they're going to throw to Hill, Achane, and Waddle. Then maybe River Craycraft or Malik Washington or Odell Beckham can catch some passes. And that just didn't happen. Doesn't really matter. I don't think they'll bring anybody in of note. I think Jonnu Smith's on one more year on his deal. Other free agents, I think Craycraft actually is a free agent. Jeff Wilson. The real questions I have going into the season for the Dolphins are, is Achane just suddenly getting like 17 to 20 touches per game? Or do we see more Jalen Wright in year two? And does Raheem Mostert even have a role this year? And then Waddle. Like, I guess obviously, like, let's make sure Tyreek Hill's on the team too, but like, can we get some sort of more creative, consistent usage from Jalen Waddle? Because that would be pretty nice. But that'll do it for the Dolphins here as we continue our 2024 season in review series here on For the Numbers. The Bills, I encourage you to check that episode out with Michael Florio. It was really fun. Spent like 50 minutes on the Bills, but you knew that was coming. Come on. Dolphins done today. We'll be back next week after the weekend with the Jets and the Patriots. Who the hell is playing quarterback for the Jets? Honestly, can't be much worse than it was last year with Aaron Rodgers. And the Patriots, I think, a team on the rise. Drake May, I have a lot of interesting stats on Drake May. And this team is in position to give him a lot of help in the offseason with offensive line and wide receiver additions. Again, go to FTNFantasy.com. Check out the Fantasy Baseball Draft Guide. Sign up for a baseball package using the promo code SPRING15 to get yourself 15% off up until the start of spring training. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back on Monday with a look at the New England Patriots here on For the Numbers. My name is Adam. Have a good one. Peace out.